My girl likes to party all the time, party all the time, party all the time.
Bernie Mac do this song? No, he didn't. Shane Gillis release a pop hit like this.
McGillis. Yeah, I mean, within the first segment, we got Kyle Aller, the Eagles drafted from ICE.
Yeah.
Couldn't figure out Shane or Seamus McGillis.
Yeah. And I want to be clear. I love Shane Gillis.
What about Pop and Circumstance?
Yeah. Dude, you've been on fire. Yeah. Man. You have that neuro gum or?
Yeah. No, yes.
We took the day off of the neuro gum.
I love Shane Gillis, but you putting him on
I just think
Mount Rushmore.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Similar. Similar styles of humor, I guess.
Yeah, well, his humor is paying him millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, and this is paying me in water sandwiches.
Never mind. I was going to ask, what type of humor is he?
You would like him. He's funny.
Blue? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's funny. Funny dude. Right. Definitely funny dude. Definitely. I saw him at Radio City, and then I saw him at Wells Fargo Center. Sold out Wells Fargo Center. Big deal.
You always see somebody.
What?
I know.
You always see somebody, man.
Yeah, I like going to see somebody.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, well, this obviously is. I just call my dad.
Growing up, yeah.
And I'm like,
get you in?
Yeah, I'm like, could I have $1,000 for the best tickets,
Daddy?
Oh, yeah,
we're out there?
Yeah.
I seen Sinners.
It's okay, right? You saw it, right?
Yeah.
It's just okay, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Did you go to the theater?
Yeah.
Wow. Got you in a theater. Huh?
How about that?
You must have been bored this weekend.
Okay, true or false? The first, 80 minutes of it, you're like...
I wasn't by myself, though, yes.
Oh, all right.
Oh, well, good to hear.
First 80 minutes of it, you're like, what is this?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell it.
It's just like a little high, a little overhyped.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's because there's no good movies anymore.
No, there are lots of good movies.
But not hyped movies. Like Oppenheimer, I think, was the last hyped movie.
Well, that movie is awesome.
Well,
let me just say this.
Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan.
Yes.
I understand he's a young actor.
Yes.
The acting part of it,
he's okay.
Yeah.
You don't get all the circus and pop and stands around him?
Yeah. Listen, he's good looking. I get it. Women love him. I get it. The depth with the acting.
See, here was my thing, right?
He's still Wallace from The Wire.
That's a tough one to shake.
Here was my thing with
still
it, right?
Wallace, yes.
He's playing twins, right?
Yeah.
But they're he plays them exactly the same. Like if one twin was like all braggadocious and the other guy was just shy, I would get it. But they just seem like the same guy.
Yeah.
All right. It was good. Yeah, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't
my wife wanted to go see it. We went and saw it. We saw it. It wasn't bad.
No.
Just it is.
That's what I tried to say. Thank you.
I'm good on Michael B. I'm good.
Thank you.
I'm good.
All right. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark. It feels good.
Ain't
thank
no
you.
Denzel.
Right. Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Show the mom in your life how much she means to you this Mother's Day with a special gift with your purchase. Details at marks-jewelers.com. How would you grade the Eagles draft? A, B, C, or D? What do you think the voting is here?
A, B, C, or D? It's probably B or C. I would say probably B, right? Most people feel good. I don't know. I didn't get the sense that everybody just love the draft, so I'd be surprised if the majority was. I'll go majority B, and I'll go... Let's go 54% B.
Dude, you're back.
I'm back.
53.5% B. Woo-hoo-hoo. Now 35.9% A. Those people are lunatics.
So A is second.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
A's a little. Okay. And then C, 7.9%. D, 1.8%. You know who gets an A for this weekend? The Phils. That's right.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Here's Jackie Baseball.
I mean, she's...
Brought to you by ringthebellbook.com.
Ringthebellbook.com. You can pre-order your copy now. They'll be out in June.
Next five orders, get it signed by Kevin and Jack. Free shipping?
Yeah, free shipping, of course. Maybe Eich will sign it. Who knows?
You never
know. Like it that day.
Nope, not. You keep playing these drops, you definitely won't be getting any autographs on these books.
Well, many people are wondering if the circum and poppin' stance around the book is really worth it.
Stop all the circus and poppin' stances
all right.
around.
Wow, he's leaning in on this one.
It's funny because I heard it the other way when I said it.
Yeah.
That's how it happens. Yeah.
So you were rolling when it happened.
I know.
And I heard it, and I was like, I wonder if Jack heard that. And he heard it. I didn't have to say anything.
Yeah, he hears everything.
He hears everything.
Even when I'm not paying attention.
Yep.
Sometimes you slip up. So
big
obviously,
win. Big win.
Last night. I mean, Everyone was asleep in my house. I was on the Raiders parade down the streets of Westchester. Yeah. No idea how much I needed that win last night.
In the ninth, I texted Jack. I was like, they got to win this one. They got to win this one.
Well, first off, they never win that game.
No.
Game where it's 1-1 late on the road with extras. Nope. They never really mess around.
They lose 3-2 like they did to the Mets.
Easily. And you explain it away. I think last night, if you were on the positive side, you say, well, Knowles shoved. So, you know, who cares that they lost? It's more important they got Aaron Nola back, but they won. And Aaron Nola looked brilliant. I mean,
he was awesome.
I know Ike's going to love this. He had the cutter work on the outside corner, and then bang, backdoor two-seamer that was able to surprise some of the right-handed hitters. It was a beautiful plan. And when he went up, instead of being in the middle of the zone, he was out of the zone, which is great, changing the eye level of the hitters, and then goes back down with the curveball.
Man.
When he gets a little too curveball heavy, that's when he starts giving up the bombs. You know what I mean?
Well, because he usually misses in the zone, like high. And they hit 100,000 feet, home runs.
Guys just sit on the curveball. It's a great curveball when they're not sitting on it. And then last night he didn't do that, so maybe, just maybe, a new plan. Also helps his fastball is up like 3 ticks. You know, all of a sudden he's back
to
93. So.
Yeah. Warmer weather.
Yeah, he's a warm weather guy.
It was freezing last night, but that's okay.
Didn't look freezing.
In Chicago, it was cold.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Eye test-wise, it didn't look freezing.
Pooh Shiesty's Friday.
Friday, everyone was wearing the hoodies under the.
Yeah.
But not a huge fan of that.
I said Pooh Shiesty's, and you guys have
I have no idea.
I don't know
Pooh Shiesty.
I know that's
what they call it these days.
I'm usually better than Jack on this, but I don't know Pooh
Shiesty.
Yeah,
I don't know. We're just trying to keep our delegation
where we usually are.
Yeah.
Are those knickers? Pants?
The pullover scheme.
Okay. Not even close.
All right.
Lizardo also shoved again, which is beautiful to see.
But
arguably, the other thing besides just Nola last night, some good developments in the bullpen. Get back to your guy.
Well, Alvarado's been good for now 4 or 5 more appearances.
Alvarado was hitting 100 last night. They fell out the strike zone. And Jordan Romano, sit on last High Hopes podcast, download it wherever you get your podcast. We're buying Jordan Romano stock. And for good measure.
Oh, God.
He was tipping, like I told you. He was tipping. They figured out the tipping. He's up to 98 yesterday. Slider, that one he threw, almost disappeared off the screen. Fired up about Jordan.
I got a real question.
Great.
Yeah.
When you say he's tipping.
Yeah.
How is it that you know he's tipping and he doesn't know he's tipping?
Because sometimes they have their tells and they don't know until they do the video camera work on it and break down what the tipping is.
What was the tipping?
I think it had to do with his glove. Like sometimes you flare it open for certain pitches, you keep it tight if you're really trying to grip a baseball.
Well, the Mets last year had a guy in the dugout basically washing for these things. Like, it was his whole job.
That's basically all Kevin Franzen, the reason why he was in the league for as long as he was. He's only there to find out if guys are tipping.
Wow.
Took a shot at your own guy, man.
I know. He's in town. Nationals are up. Nationals a little frisky. They've won 3 straight series. Took 2 or 3 from the Mets over the weekend. So, not exactly your pushover, Nats.
They need 2 out of 3. They need to win 3 straight series. Oh, they play 4?
I think it's a 4-game series. Or is it a 3-game series?
No, it's a 3-game series.
Definitely a 3-game series.
Yeah, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then the Diamondbacks Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Nervous for the Diamondback series.
Well, you should
perpetually
be.
Nervous.
They got to win 3 straight series. So Cubs series, they got to win the Nat series, and they got to win the Diamondback series.
And then they have a nice little stretch of like Pirates, Rockies.
Yeah.
And then some other crap team right after that. So
The Cardinals again?
The Cardinals are in there.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Cardinals, Bob Nightingale yesterday, the Phillies, among other teams, are keeping an eye on Cardinals closer Ryan Helsley, but they do not want to put Andrew Painter or A.J. Miller on the deal. Of course, he's an unrestricted free agent after the year, so he should not cost those guys, but he's a traditional closer, you know, up to 100, so he's sick, but again, it's April 28th.
Right.
And you're not trading for him until July, so I don't really get the point of the report. Of course, they're interested. And then this last thing here, I want to talk about Bryce. So, one Bryce-related thing from the weekend is that he talked about Kyle Tucker and how he's one of his favorite players in the league.
Great.
Laying the groundwork for the offseason.
All right.
But the real thing with Bryce, and this is a trust tree.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous.
Yeah.
Like, it just...
One hit this road trip or two?
I think he had two.
Okay.
I can't tell if he's in between swings. Like, he's getting breaking ball to death, and he's not adjusting very well to it. He's, like, missing breaking balls. He's chasing more than I think I've seen. But also, like, it's not high quality. Like, he's walking, but not the highest quality of the bats. And I hope that there's nothing going on with the back. Like, that's the first thing I think about is, like, is he having back issues? So we're monitoring the Bryce thing.
He just doesn't look confident up there to me. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So we'll see. File that one away, though. Yep.
Speaking of good at-bats, Kepler's at-bat was in the 10th last night.
Oh, big walk.
It was a big walk.
Now, how are you?
He was 0-2, right? I think he was down 0-2. Or was it Trey that was 0-2? Who was 0-2? Somebody was 0-2, battled back for a walk. Maybe it was JT?
No, I don't think it was JT.
Somebody.
What was the live cam in the Eskin household when Boehm swung at a 58-footer on a 3-1 pitch?
Dude. Now, that was a big fly ball in the 10th, by the way.
He was, but he had his second walk of the year in the game last night, which is good to see. But when he swung 3-1 at a 58-footer, I was like, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? But it's okay.
Well, don't worry. Don't worry. His defenders tell me he's still on pace for 15 home runs. He's got zero.
Perfect.
He's on pace for zero!
I have nothing to say.
Dude, 6'5". The size of Jordan Mailata. Hit a home run! Hit a home run! You play third base! You're 6'5"! Hit a home run! All right, sorry. 215-592-9494. And Phil's off tonight, but back on tomorrow night, 6:45, first pitch against the Nats. Chase in New Jersey, you're on WIP. Chase.
Chase.
That's what Boehm did. He chased. Robert in Harrisburg, you're on WIP. What's up, Robert?
Yeah, no, I don't understand. You get it confused. Some of the greatest pass rushers that terrorized the league came from the linebacker position, not from the edge. Lawrence Taylor and just recently Clay Matthews of the Green Bay Packers. They terrorized the league from the linebacker position. You don't have to put your hand down on the dirt just to get after the quarterback. Some of the greatest players.
They have
Lawrence Taylor.
They have in the league right now, the value on edge rushers versus the value of off-ball linebackers, it's just not the same. You can be a great off-ball linebacker that gets to the quarterback, but the way that the league is now, it's not that anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not. It's not LT. It's not Derek Thomas. It's just a different thing now. He can be a great player, a great linebacker. All I'm saying is that there's a difference between him playing linebacker and occasionally getting to the quarterback on a blitz or a third down passing play and playing edge three downs. That's all. And at this point in his career, the video that I watched, he looked like a natural linebacker. He can be a great linebacker. It's just to me, like Elliott saying they drafted him as an edge and that's why it's a great pick. Okay, then we'll see. Because that's not what he is right now.
Okay. All right, if you say so. But like I said, Lawrence Taylor, man, he made his bones from the linebacker position.
Absolutely.
He went to the Hall of Fame.
Yes, but it was 40 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. You take care.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Would you be okay if he was Roquan Smith?
Sure. Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, this idea that if he's not this pass-rushing linebacker, somehow this wasn't the pick. I just disagree with that. I got to start looking at linebackers differently. This is Vic Fangio's defense. He just turned a guy. Think about this. And this is why I think Elliott is misguided here. Even though I think his heart's in the right place, but he's so tunnel-visioned that it's painful at times. We just saw Zach Bond, who we all viewed before he got here as a guy who rushed off the edge as a situational player slash special team guy.
That's what we thought we were getting.
What he had been.
Yeah.
Until Vic Fangio got a hold of him. Vic Fangio just turned him into an all-pro linebacker and got him paid. And it wasn't because he was primarily rushing from the outside. That's why I'm saying to myself, this could be your Zach Bond replacement. This kid is only 21. Zach Bond's 27. Let's say he plays 3 more years. He plays his contract out. Say the Eagles don't want to pay him again when he's 30 or 31. Well, now this kid is just 24. Now he steps in there as your ultimate player. I enjoyed watching Zach Bond play linebacker this year.
He was awesome.
Awesome, right?
Right.
Playmaker all over the field. Coverage, a run defender, blitz sometimes, tackles for losses. He was all over the field. That's how I envisioned this kid.
I also think there's a possibility that with the if the league continues to be to sort of drift back into running for a little while, let me see if this makes sense to you. Mm-hmm. When, and with more mobile quarterbacks, because I was working on a take, right? And I'm thinking about these speedy, smaller edge guys, mm-hmm. right, which are taking over the league, even the great guys. But what happens is they all go sort of like wide to get there. And what it does is it leaves this, first of all, from a run perspective, it's not great against the run if you're not an edge setter. You're only sort of going one speed to get to the quarterback.
Yep.
The other thing that happens is like it leaves this part of the field, this middle part of the field open. Now that we have more mobile quarterbacks, it almost leaves an opportunity for those guys to go if there's more of these edge guys. And I just wonder if Fangio even values like that kind of edge that we're thinking about, those Abdul Carter, Michael Parsons.
Yeah.
Like whether that, because BG always kept talking last year about setting the edge rushing as a team, And I wonder if those guys are able to thrive in Fangio's defense and maybe with where the NFL is there. By the way, it's why I think that guy, what's his last name?
Williams
went up so high. Mm-hmm. He's not one of these guys.
He's more of a pass rushing end. He's more of a TJ Watt
right
on the end of a line
right
as an outside linebacker. And a lot of those guys are built differently. We bring up Michael Parsons, and I know we only focus on Michael Parsons' ability to get after the quarterback and those things. And I get that. That's primarily where he makes most of his bones. I don't know if Michael Parsons lines up at the beginning of the game as an outside rusher. I have to watch Dallas a little closer
right.
for me to see exactly how they use Michael Parsons every down. I don't see the Eagles using this kid the way Nolan Smith has been used, the way Jalix Hunt has been used. Those guys have been primary rushers their career. Like Nolan Smith was primarily a rush edge at Georgia. This kid played a lot of off-ball stack linebacker, and he could blitz at times. I don't know where he's going to play at. I'm sure they'll get him out there, but it really all depends on how Vic Fangio sort of uses him in the scheme of it all.
We talk about Zach Bond a lot, and we haven't talked about N'Kobe Dean because he got hurt at the end of the year. He's not going to be here. That guy had a great year, too.
Yep.
It's not just Bond that had a great year. N'Kobe Dean had a great year. By the way, when N'Kobe Dean went out, Oren Burks played well, too. So like, there might be something about this defense, that position right now, the way football is, that they might even value a linebacker more than they valued a linebacker before.
Yeah, and this defense. I think it was last year when it was Vic Fangio who talked about the importance of linebacker in his defense. You got to be smart. You got to be physical. You got to be versatile. Like all those types of things. To your point about N'Kobe and even Oren Burks, they were more of the stationary linebacker, meaning they didn't do all the different things that Zach Bond did. Like he could move Zach Bond around where he wanted to use him.
Yeah, well, you look at the Saints game. Zach Bond was on the line of scrimmage half of the Saints game because of, you know, they wanted to make sure they contained that running game there, and they use Zach Bond that way, too.
As the extra edge guy.
Yep. All right, coming up next, our draft expert, Mike Mayock. We will get
Mayock. We'll talk to Mayock about Shador.
We will. We'll talk to Mayock about Shador, what he thought of Mel Kiper Jr.'s meltdown, what he thought of the Eagles draft.
Seriously.
Yes.
Mel.
See, you didn't get to watch Mel on Friday, on Thursday night.
Because of what you said Thursday night, I watched him Friday night.
It was out of control. I kept saying that on Thursday night. I was like, is anybody else watching this? All right, Mike Mayock joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.